Okay, one more time for anyone just walking in. Patrick Mead is not able to speak this morning. He fell a little bit sick last night, and he's back in his hotel room right now. So we apologize for that. We do have Sarah Barton and Richard and Ida Bazonona from Uganda here to speak with us. I'd like to stay for that. I know you'll be blessed by what they have to say and as they share their work in Uganda. Let me just pray for them, and I'll hand it over to Sarah. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for just blessing us in so many ways for this weekend, the workshop. We ask that you be with Patrick right now and with his health, that you'll bless him and that he will have a quick recovery and be able to be home with his family. We ask that you be with Sarah and Richard and Ida in this hour as they speak to us. We know that you are in control, and you will use this hour through them. And we just ask for your blessings in this time. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I want to begin by introducing you to Richard and Ida. They did just arrive on Sunday. They're a little bit jet-lagged, but they woke up at 2, and then they woke up at 4, and then what time did you make it to today? 5. So they're getting there. They're adjusting to the time. Every day is a little bit better. I want to tell you a little bit about how I know Richard and Ida and how I first met them. I was on a mission team with Clint Davis and Jill Taylor and several who are around at the workshop. 5 of us couples decided to move to Uganda in 1994. We moved there to do a church planting mission. We all went to Harding. We were all great friends at Harding, and we decided, let's go and let's do something. Let's try to do something that makes a difference in the world, that is inspired by who we believe ourselves to be because of Jesus Christ. And so because of Monty Cox, who some of you may know, being used in a really powerful way, we were inspired to move to Uganda. The country was just opening up at the time after years of civil war and unrest, years with Idi Amin and things like that. We moved there in 1994, and some of the first people we met were Richard and Ida. These things go, our relationship goes back, I guess, to 1994. The way that our team first came to know them was that their son had a really bad problem with one of his legs. And the doctors there in Uganda had told them that he was going to have his leg amputated. They heard that a doctor was in Jinja, and so they wanted to do whatever they could do to help save Roger's leg. And so they came to a clinic that we had going on. We had a medical clinic that came even during our first year there. And they came to that clinic, and one of the members of our team, Marnie Moore, is a nurse. And through a series of events, what happened was they ended up saving Roger's leg, still has that leg today. But what they had to do was they lived about 8 miles outside of the town where we lived, and Richard had to bring Rogers in on his bicycle every day to see Marnie and to get Marnie to treat his wound, take care of his leg. So the good father that he is, he brought his son all that way into town on the back of a bicycle every day for all those years, and that's how we got to know them. At the time, Richard started getting very interested in coming to some Bible studies. Ida was not interested at all. So we eventually, she was won over and has become a very central part of the ministry. It's almost kind of funny now to think about that you were the one saying, no, I'm not interested. Ida is well loved by everyone in the churches there. Today there are 85 churches in the Busoga region that are a part of this church planting team. The churches have been planted by the original team that went. None of the original team is currently still living there, but there is a new team that has gone there of American missionaries. But it's also grown to include local people as being part of the team, part of the ministry. Many of those 85 churches were started by and initiated by and planted by Ugandans themselves, riding their bicycles to their neighbors' villages, to their relatives' villages. And so you see what we were taught by Monty Cox many years ago as a web movement of churches actually happening and taking place in the Busoga region in Uganda. Something we're very excited about. If you want to hear more, we do encourage you to go by the Kibo Group table By the way, those who are coming in, I'm sorry we're not Patrick Mead. But if you'd like to stay, okay, you know. I'm glad you're here. We can give you more information about how you can be helpful to the ministries that are taking place there and give you lots more information about the things that are going on there. We would love to share that with you on a more specific basis. But what I'd like you to do now, since we have this unexpected time, is, and we didn't know that Richard and Ida would be able to come because to the Tulsa workshop, they were invited actually to be a part of the Pepperdine Lectures coming up next month, but they were able to come. We were waiting for Richard to get his visa, and eventually he did get it, and he's here, and they're loving seeing the Tulsa workshop and meeting people. Yesterday, Richard said, "I just learned that everything here is associated with our Churches of Christ." And I said, "Yes, everything here, everything you can see." You know, when you're from a place where Churches of Christ are not as known or not as large, it's very encouraging, I think, to see and to be a part of something like the Tulsa workshop. So they were very encouraged by that. But what I'd like to do with our time is have you get to know Richard and Ida. We love Richard and Ida. We've been through so much together. And I'll interject a little bit and tell you a little bit about them, but I'm just going to sort of interview them. As we hear their story, the thing I love about it is that we are co-workers. We have worked together. Our lives are intertwined in ways that just, I don't know. This is my sister. This is my brother. And that's how our team feels about them. We love them so much. And so it's always exciting for me to get to share that with others. Okay, let me ask you a little bit, Richard and Ida, whoever wants to answer. You can just elbow each other when you want to be the one to speak. God has really brought you through a lot of experiences from that little village 8 miles outside of Jinja, and brought you into Jinja, brought you into Christ in very exciting ways. And now here you are in America, which is, I know, for many Ugandans, just a crazy idea that you might get to travel to America and see and experience it and visit churches. So tell us just a little bit to get started about your trips to America. Ida came last year without Richard, but this year they both got to come. Just tell us a little bit about us. Tell us how you see us, how you see America, some of your experiences here. Just share a little bit of that with us.
Thank you, Sarah, for giving such a nice introduction for us. And I thank God to let me stand before you all. First of all, I bring greetings from Uganda, Jinja, whereby I work as church minister in that church, which is in Jinja Town. It's located on Main Street, opposite Tropical Bank, on the Sos Cafe building. Behind, we meet there and we praise our God and do wonderful things for Him. My name's, as she introduced them, she said them to you, Richard Bazonona. I love God. I love to serve God. And some of the work I do is preach in the Word of God in the Jinja Church, and I lay out the schedules for some of the leaders of the church of whom we serve with, and with them the Word of God and preaching such kind of things and preaching the community around. You know, here I've seen, as Sarah has said, that here I've seen, and I raised that question. I say, wow, all of these workshops is organized by the Churches of Christ? And I said, yes, of which over there in Uganda, we need to preach to them more, because I do preach to the community, people around us, and those people still need to know more about God. This is a community mixed up with people who don't know God, of whom we need to be preached to and be taught the wonderful love that God has for them. So, am I being there? I do preach to those people and to the people around and the church and such kind of work I do. In Uganda, there are brothers and sisters who love also to hear the good news of God and the wonderful work He is to do in their lives. Right, I think Ida can. When I came in America here, I was like, some of the things that I'm looking at of which are not in in Uganda. When I reached here, I saw the beautiful roads, nice ones, which has no jam like in Uganda. They are not too much congested, whereby in Africa, Uganda, you find that the roads, they are not wide as the roads I've seen in America here. They are too narrow in Uganda, whereby they are congested with a lot of people. They are people with bicycles. They ride. They are those who use their bicycles as businesses. They have the cushions at the back. They ride people around in town, maybe for those like taxis, of which so they use them. You find people footing, going this side, going the other side. So I saw that driving in Uganda is quite, you need to be attentive all the time, whereby in America here, at least you drive with reluctant, at least relax a bit. Whereby, as Clint was driving us around, you could ride well as he talks on the phone, but in Uganda you find that those people, they over there, the roads are too busy. People footing, even cows can cross. So if you're not so attentive, you may find yourself in an accident. So please, this has amazed me, and I'm like, ooh, this is a well-organized country, and I've liked the roads. And another thing which amazed me, you here, you have some things like seasons, the winter, and all that. But for us in Uganda, what I saw, of which I'm learning from this, I saw the trees were broken. That, and when I tried to ask, what happened to some of your trees? They said, snow, come and cover up all those branches. And they feel heavy, and they break. And I was like, in Uganda, we don't have that. In Uganda, we have two kinds of seasons. We have dry one, which is hot, and it's just for a few months, and then another one, which is rainy. So those are some of the things which amazed me, and I was like, Now, for you, when you go to Africa and you try to talk of winter season, hot season, those kind of things, I understand someone who is from Africa may not get you so clearly, because for us, we have only two seasons, hot and as well as rainy season, whereby in rainy season, we plan, like right now, we called this morning to some of our friends there and said, it's raining and people are busy planting in their gardens. So I think those are some of the things that amazed me in America.
It amazed me. I came last year, but I feel like I want to share with you because it was interesting. When I reached the airport, the doors just open automatically. You don't do anything. And having had problems at customs, it scared me. I thought there was something wrong. I did. So I had to run when I saw the doors opening. When I ran, I don't know whether you like this, I felt like going to the toilet, so I rushed the toilet. And after doing what I wanted to do, before I did anything, the toilet flashed, and that scared me most. And I thought, have I done anything wrong? Was I not supposed to do what I did? So I had again to run, because I thought, if at the customs are doing something to get me maybe and take me to police. So that's what made me run. So when I ran outside, again the last door opened and I said, I'm now finished. We say finished. I said, I'm now dead. But the good thing, the person who was waiting for me had nice balloons with my name, was like welcoming me. She was crying tears of joy, and I also cried tears of joy because I'd come to my rescue because I saw somebody I knew. So when she saw me very happy and crying, she asked me, what is wrong? I said, nothing. I'm just happy because I've seen you. We went in her car, and she forgot that she had to pay some money. I don't know whether for parking or for the gates. She requested me to go with her. I told her, I just can't go back there. I didn't tell her the reason as to why, but I knew myself. I thought they were going to take me back again because of the things that happened, the doors opening, toilets flashing. So I refused to go back. But when we reached home, I told her everything, and she laughed. And also, again, when we were going home, I almost caught her hands because I saw as if she was driving on the wrong side. With us in Uganda, we keep left. And this way, you keep right. So I thought we were going to have an accident. And when she told me that they keep right in the U.S., I cooled down. I knew I was in safe hands.
Thank you. One of the fun things about this is that as they experience our culture, we can tell them from the first months we were in Uganda, we did everything wrong, and we were scared of everything, and we felt some of the same things trying to learn how to function there. I told a story, I think I told you this story, Ida. One time I went to buy matoke for my first time. It's like bananas, but you cook with them. You don't just eat them like bananas, and they're green. They're different. It's one of the major main foods in Uganda. And so I went to buy it, and you buy it in this big stalk. And I thought, well, bananas, I've picked up bananas before. Even if there are more bananas, I can lift them. And I bought my matoke at the market in Jinja Town, and I started to pick them up, and they were so heavy, there was hardly any way I could pick them up by myself. I learned later you're supposed to pay someone to help you get it to the car or the vehicle or whatever. The whole town was staring and laughing and looking at me and laughing at everything I was doing, and I was doing it all wrong, but I was too prideful. So I lugged those matoke into the truck anyway, and everyone laughed at me. So you have to learn, like they're learning, that we have to laugh at each other. That was one of the lessons. We all laughed. We all did things wrong, and we learned so many funny things about other cultures. But that's been part of the fun of having them here, is that we can all laugh together. Okay. Well, let me ask you just to take that question, maybe to make it a little bit more serious. What have these experiences, I know that when we went to Uganda, our experiences taught us so much about our faith. They taught us about God. There's something about going to new places that opens your mind in new ways. What have your experiences taught you about faith and about ministry, about God?
Yes. That experience has taught me that faith is not just something automatic. We have to work and at least do something. Following Jesus is not an easy thing. And when we are following Jesus, we're not following him just maybe to see what he does or the miracles, but we are following him to Calvary, to the cross. It's not easy. In the ministry, we find rocks, mountains, thorns, but we have to persevere because Jesus was strong until he finished his ministry. These things have also taught me that in God's eyes, we are all equal. The boundaries were just put by people. When God created this world, it was one. We were all speaking one language. These boundaries were just put by man. There is no American. There is no an African. We are all equal. We are all the same in God's eyes. And also coming this way taught me that the Americans are really good people. Because if it wasn't that they had to sacrifice, gave in their children, gave in their money to send the missionaries who came and fished us. I don't know that word is correct.
Fished?
Fished. The missionaries you sent fished us.
We were fishermen?
You were fishermen. It's your strength that made us what we are today. All the churches that are in Busoga 85 in Busoga only, but in Uganda there are more than 100. It's your strength and power and courage and sacrifice that the churches are there. We are so thankful that you are so good at sacrificing.
That's something that when Ida came last year, I really appreciated, because she saw that for our parents, when she met our parents, the missionaries, she would tell every one of them, thank you for sending your children to us. And it was hard for the parents to send their kids off. We have Briley Davis's dad sitting here. He sent his daughter off to Uganda to be a missionary. It's difficult. It's hard to send your kids. And so we loved it that Ida was able to come and thank the parents. Some of the missionaries who are there now, still living there, she came and she thanked the parents for, and that's just been very, very meaningful that she's been able to see that, and to see that it is difficult, and to see this side of things. Richard, do you want to add to that?
Yes. As we were in the workshop, still we are there, and as we were in the big hall, I saw we were praising God, and all that organization of whereby asked the client and said, who are the people organize all this? And said, these are churches of Christ, schools, universities, colleges. They make up workshops like this, and Bibles, books, and different kinds of things which I'm watching and I'm seeing, brought up in order to let those, even some of them are organizations which are sponsoring and helping some of the ministries which are run in Africa and even in different places of the world, of which I saw that the Americans keep praising that same God, of which we Ugandans, Africa, we need also the same God to work in us. I really saw God working in your lives, because depending on even what the team of the missionaries are sent in Africa and in Uganda, mostly the ones I work with, I see they do sacrifice. And depending on all the way you organize yourselves and come up with that heart of helping, really that what makes you send some of the people over there. Please, brothers and sisters, continue that way, because those people still, God is there, but still they don't understand God, and they don't see real God working in their lives, of whereby it's our job to work more hand in hand as we pray, such that they also get to understand that God, and they see him working in their lives, like he works in your hearts and in your lives, that I saw in you people. Thank you so much.
I wish everyone could have been sitting with, I got to sit with Richard and Ida last night when we were singing. And they loved the singing, and they praised and worshiped God. It was sometimes when people go to Uganda and they get to praise and worship in the language there, it's very touching. We got to have a lot of visitors come and visit, and you get to see how touching it is for people to get to worship in Uganda in different ways and in new ways. And last night, to get to be with them, even a lady came up to you, didn't she, Ida, and said, where are you from? I'm so touched by your worship, and I so appreciate just watching you worship. And it was a very special night for all of us that we were able to sit there together and worship. And you knew what? About half the songs. They knew about half the songs, but they loved learning the new ones. And they want to get CDs to take back so they can. Oh, and yesterday was Richard's first time to hear the beatbox, you know, in the a cappella groups. And he was watching. Tell a little bit about that.
For sure, at first I was a bit a distance to our table of our workshop where it is. And I saw some of the youth were, and I thought they are beating drums. That's why I went close. But I really saw, and even the other man who had a deep, deep, deep voice, it amazed him. I said, really? He doesn't even change it, or maybe become like he has lost his voice? Yeah. So it amazed me so much to hear all those being done by just a man, or to hear all that kind of good, nice voices coming out of area man of whereby he didn't expect that to happen.
When you go back to Uganda, you'll have to do a little bit of the beatbox to teach people.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Teach some people to do that.
Yes, maybe, yeah. I'll try to.
Because when you listen to a CD, you can't tell. Mm. You can't tell what they're doing, but then you see it's amazing to see what people can do with
right.
voices.
Right.
Well, tell us a little bit about your work, what you do in Jinja. You told a little bit about that, Richard, but maybe be specific, a little bit specific about what are some of the challenges. Richard works as one of the main ministers for Rochester Church, for Jinja Church, and Ida works as part of one of the ministries at the Source Cafe. And so maybe just share a little bit about the ministries that you work with and what some of the challenges are.
Okay. I'm glad to share this because Jinja Church is where I minister. And some of the challenges and some of the difficulties whereby I do get in Jinja Church, I looked as church minister, whereby some of the people in the church members, they feel like I know everything. I'm to direct them everything of whereby I need their company. And I feel like we have to be together such that we work together. How do they look at me? What am I meaning when I say they look at me and they think I know everything and I'm to direct them everything, whereby I just keep on encouraging us and please, we need to be together such that we serve God. One of the things are the youth when they are, you know, the youth, we always have some of the seminars to let them go and meet some of the other friends, maybe in Kampala, maybe in Mbale, some of those areas are in Uganda there. And at least to see that they encourage themselves together in the Lord. And, you know, the youth are very difficult people to control, and some of them very difficult people to control. And when they, at least we try to bring them together, like in places like Fort Potro, they go and have faith quest there. So there are some of the difficulties. They come to me and say, "Who, church minister, we need to transport maybe from here to Fort Poro, from here to Mbale, so that they can be involved in those kind of seminars," of which is good. We see it as leaders of the church, and it's good and a way of controlling them together in coming down, knowing God and respecting Him, willing to serve and do all those kind of things. You know, the youth do participate a lot in the church, and we need them. So we find that those are some of the challenges we get, and I get, and find that they come to me and say, "Oh, church minister, all this we lie on you," and say, "Please, we need to work together, and we'll see that we go through all this." And some of the things and other things which I see that challenges, and which is on most of the time on my neck or being asked on me, is we have some of the come together like churches around maybe in a district. I don't know whether I have districts here. In a district whereby we have some one Sunday, we call it a super Sunday, a come together Sunday, whereby churches from different areas in a district, we come together and we praise God together. We share the word of God together, and we eat even together. So we found that some of those very churches which are nearby, they feel like, oh, we are not alone. We are together with our brothers. You know, they come to call Jinja Church the headquarters of all churches of Christ because it lives in town, it is in town, and I find all those challenges and the question is asked towards me, and I try to solve those in a way of gathering some of the brothers and the fair leaders I work with, and I say, "Please, here is this." And most of the needs and some of their questions, they raise it towards me. I have like a small office there given to me whereby they come in and rise up some of those kind of things, and I introduce those kind of problems. Not I alone handle them, but together with the brothers, we try to find that we handle them together with them after I've introduced to them what they are like in need of, what maybe like questions to them. And that's how we try some of the challenges we go through in that way, as with the help of God. Yes.
And with me, I work in the village with women mostly. And also I work with children. I teach preschool teachers. In the villages, we decided with the missionary wives.
Hold it really, really close.
The missionary wives, that the village women can't come from the village to where we are. It costs money, of which they don't have. So we decided together with the missionary women that we will be going to them. We go 4 days in a week. And I go 2 days by myself, 2 days I go with the missionary wives. But in those 2 days when I go by myself, transport is very bad. I use bicycles. We have taxis, but not vehicles. But the roads where we pass, they are not safe. And I ask you to always be praying for me, for my safety, when I go to the deep villages. A man rides you. You don't know him. He doesn't know you. You are passing through bushes. I think, women, you know what you can be feeling by that time. You try to ask that man whether there is no any other bigger road than that. And he tells you, this is the shortcut. And when you see the shortcut, it's like 6 kilometers. So that's the most thing that is scaring me. But I know with God, everything is possible. And I've never faced anything bad. And I know my husband is also happy about that. There is nothing that has ever happened to me. But I need your prayers. And another challenge is that women are really left behind in the villages. They don't have any say. They are just their husband's properties. They can't decide on their own. They can't do anything. The husband decides for them. When you reach there, you've prepared your meeting at around 4. You find a woman very busy in the garden. She says that she was told by her husband to first complete the portion that they gave her to dig. So what I have to do is to help her, because I'm also very good at digging. I know how. So is to help her that she can finish that in time, that we can go and share the word of God. I also pray that you pray for me to always have the strength to help, because I'm following Jesus. It's not a smooth way. I have to get thorns. I have to get valleys and hills. So I want to be in their life. I want to understand their life. I want to know them more by helping and suffering together with them.
One of the things that has helped Richard and Ida both to become leaders in the way that they are is that they truly understand servant leadership. Even what Ida just shared with you, if there's a funeral, Ida's one of the first people there. When there's a death within our churches, they have the funeral, the burial takes place at home. You don't go somewhere else. You go to the home village and the home house of the patriarch in the family. And Ida's always the first person there. She stays. It lasts for days sometimes. You cook for all the people who come for the funeral. And Ida is always there. She's always cooking. She always really contributes. And I think she's been a very good example to all of us. And of course, Richard is helping that happen and is with her and by her side many, many of those times. And so they teach us servant leadership, that leadership is not just getting a trip to America and coming back and talking about it and some of the things they've been able to experience and having the title of the minister at the Jinja Church and being able to go and teach in the villages as Ida does. It's doing the service like she just described. If the woman can't come to the Bible study until she hoes this many rows in her garden, then Ida helps hoe in the garden. And they've really, really been a good example in that way. Well, another thing I would mention is, we didn't mention yet, is that both of them have participated in a Busoga Bible School, which is a school we have that helps to educate leaders in theological matters, in the Bible, so that they can then teach. And both of them, have you both graduated and now you're in the advanced, or have you finished? Go ahead and share a little bit about that if you want.
Okay. I myself standing before you. I'm a graduate of BBS. And this is why I'm able to share, and that's I think why I'm able to to be the church minister over there in Jinja. This is an idea brought by John Burton, whereby he went to see, by the time they were still there as missionaries, think this came in his mind, and he thought of when the time comes for them to leave Africa and Uganda and come back to the States. And they, so far they had opened up about 60 churches of Christ planted in the villages, different villages over there in Busoga, Uganda. So I think that idea came into his mind, and he thought of how will he leave those churches, because these are the missionaries who used to go in the villages and water those churches, try to teach more of the word of God to those people. And when their time came to leave, he thought of training more leaders. And those leaders, they come and in town and get trained in the Bible. You know, I have an example I always reflect and even show, that if we look around, we see doctors who work on us when we are sick, they undergo training. Even the teachers who teach us, they also go under training. What about us, we human beings, who do teach the word of God, who win souls to God? We need also to be trained. So I saw that John doing that was a very helping way of us to continue, go on with the work of the Lord. And we are now the church minister. By then I wasn't. But now I do the work of the Lord in Jinja and even in more other people. So it's whereby we are able to come and get trained in order to teach those churches. And on BBS, it's called BBS abbreviation, but it's Busoga Bible School. That's in full. So Busoga Bible School helps train, and I myself, I was chosen to be one of the board members, whereby we oversee. We are not the bosses, but we just oversee the properties of the school and help even to organize the school in order to go on well. And then I think that's some of the things we are able to do over there. Please, thank you.
Do you want to comment on that?
Yes, with me, I'm not yet a graduate, but I'm still taking my classes. I think in June I'll have my certificate.
Well, it's about time for us to stop, and we didn't even get to many things on our list that we wanted to talk about, and I want you to get a chance to meet Richard and Ida. I do want to just close by telling you a little bit that we didn't talk about. We had a real tragedy in our ministry, in our team, in our co-workers last year, in which one of our local leaders, Moses Chemezi, and one of our missionaries, Adam Lankford, were both killed in a terrible car accident. And it was Adam from Oklahoma. Many of you may know him, know of the story. And it was one of those things, one of those horrible things you hope will never happen. Moses left a family, one of Ida's dearest friends, Irene, and the children. And it was a really, really difficult time for all of us and for our team. But I think what we've seen over the last year is that God is able to work even in the most terrible circumstances. He's able to take care of us, to take care of Irene, to take care of the ministries. When this happened, these were two of the main leaders in one of our main ministries. We didn't even talk about that much. The Source Cafe, which is integral to the work there, they were two of the main leaders helping hold that together. So in some ways you could think, how is it going to go on? How are we going to survive this? And yet God has raised up people. He's taken care of us. He's taken care of the ministries. And we're thankful for that. But one of the things that happened in that is it showed us that our lives are really, really intertwined. It brought us together. They watched Adam's funeral at the Source Cafe on a screen, because we taped it so they could be watching. My husband and another teammate flew immediately as soon as it happened so they could be at Moses' funeral in Uganda. And so our lives were burying one another. We're living lives with one another. And one of the neat things that's also happened is that whenever my son wanted to be baptized a few years ago, he's 14, he wanted to be baptized in Uganda, in a creek in Uganda, in a village, the way that he had seen happen. And that the same thing happened with the Abneys, one of our teammates. Their son was just baptized a couple of months ago in Uganda. We are living lives together. One of the church members, Grace, said, you know, in 1994 you came here, you taught us, you baptized us, and now we are teaching you and we are baptizing you. And that's definitely how he put it succinctly there when he said, you know, now we're teaching you and we're baptizing you, very literally. We're baptizing each other. We're mourning together. We're rejoicing together as we praise together and live together at things like this. And so I just encourage you to get to know Richard and Ida. They're going to be at the Kibo Group table. The Kibo Group is a nonprofit that really helps with a lot of our ministries. If any of you have extra money, we'll take it. So come by, and we'll give you a really good bag of coffee in exchange. So come by the table and get to know everyone associated with it a little bit better. Thank you for your time and your grace as you didn't get to hear Patrick.
Thank you very much. Yes. God bless you.